All right, so we're diving deep into plastic ribs in injection molding. I have to admit, when I first saw this topic, I was like, plastic ribs, like what is there even to talk about? But then I started reading your sources and wow,
Yeah, you know?
it's actually way more interesting than I thought. Like these little things are in everything and they make a huge difference. I mean, we're talking about making products stronger, lighter, cheaper, even more eco-friendly, all thanks to ribs.
Yeah, it really is fascinating.
So let's get into it. First off, what exactly are plastic ribs?
So imagine you've got a molded plastic part, right? Ribs are those vertical supports you see inside.
Okay, so they're kind of like the hidden skeleton,
Exactly.
giving the part its
Strength
strength,
and rigidity.
like the steel beams in a skyscraper, but just
Yeah,
way smaller.
that's a perfect analogy.
So are ribs just a way to add strength without making the walls super thick?
Exactly.
Because if you just made the walls thicker, wouldn't the product be heavier
Yeah.
and use way more plastic?
Exactly.
Which would obviously be bad for the environment and more expensive.
Right. So ribs are a really clever way to make things stronger and lighter at the same time.
And that lighter part also means we're using less plastic, right?
Absolutely.
And that's good for the environment. Less plastic means less crude oil needed to make it,
Right.
which is where most plastic comes from, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And if you're using less material, that also means lower costs for manufacturers.
Exactly.
So it's good for the planet, aka the wallet.
Yeah, got it.
So it's not just about making things stronger, it's about using resources more efficiently.
Exactly.
But you mentioned something about moldability earlier. What exactly does that mean?
So when we're talking about moldability, we're talking about how easily the melted plastic can flow and fill up the mold cavity during injection molding
Okay.
and parts with well-designed ribs.
Yeah.
They actually tend to have better flow characteristics.
That means just
It means fewer defects and faster production times.
I see. So the plastic flows smoothly, fills the mold quickly, less wasted material, less time spent on each part.
Precisely.
All about efficiency.
Yeah.
But are there ever any downsides to using ribs? Like, could they actually make a product weaker in certain ways?
Well, like with anything in design, it depends. If they're not designed right, you can run into problems.
Oh,
Like, have you ever noticed those annoying little depressions you sometimes see on plastic surfaces?
you mean like those little dimples that always seem to attract dirt?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Those are called sink marks.
Sink marks.
Yeah. And those are actually a common sign of improper rib design.
So how do those happen?
Well, if the ribs are too thick or too close together, they can cause the plastic to cool unevenly, and that uneven cooling creates those indentations.
Oh, I see. So there's definitely a science to getting the rib design just right.
There is.
What are some of the things you have to think about when you're designing ribs?
Well, one of the most important factors is the height of the rib. If it's too tall for its thickness, it can buckle under pressure.
Okay, so there's a specific height to thickness ratio you need to aim for.
Right. It really depends on the material you're using and what the part is going to be used for, like how much stress it will be under.
Got it. So you have to find that balance between making it tall enough to be strong, but not so tall that it becomes unstable.
Yeah, you don't want it to buckle.
Okay, what else?
The thickness of the rib itself is also super important. It has to be the right proportion to the thickness of the wall of the part.
Right, to give it enough support.
Right.
So if it's too thin, it won't be strong enough. And if it's too thick, you risk those sink marks.
Exactly.
It's all about finding that sweet spot.
Yeah.
What else is there to consider?
Well, this might sound a bit technical, but you also have to think about the angle of the rib.
The angle. I thought ribs were always straight up and down.
Well, they usually are, but we incorporate a slight taper into the
A
design.
taper. What do you mean?
It's called the draft angle.
Draft angle.
Yeah.
Why is that necessary?
Well, if you had a perfectly straight rib, it would be really hard to get the part out of the mold. It would stick.
Oh, right. So the draft angle is like a little slope that lets the parts slide out easily.
Exactly.
Makes sense. It's amazing how much thought goes into something so small.
Yeah, every detail matters.
So we've talked about the design of the ribs themselves, but I'm still curious about how they actually affect the flow of plastic during the injection molding process.
Right. Well, think of it this way. You've got this molten plastic being injected into the mold, and the ribs actually act as guides for that molten plastic.
No, okay.
They help direct the flow, making sure it fills the entire mold evenly and quickly.
Like little channels that the plastic flows through.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Pretty clever.
And it's not just about guiding the flow. Ribs also play a crucial role in how the part cools.
Cooling. How do they affect that?
So as that molten plastic starts to cool and solidify, it shrinks. And that shrinkage can create stress inside the part.
Oh, I see.
which can lead to warping or even cracking.
Yikes.
But ribs help distribute those stresses more evenly.
So they prevent the part from warping.
Exactly.
They're like little reinforcement beams
Yeah.
holding everything together as it cools.
Right. And here's the really cool part. Ribs can actually help the part cool down faster.
Really? I would have thought they'd just add more material that needs to be cooled.
They do add some material, but they also increase the surface area of the part,
Right.
and that means more exposure to whatever's cooling it down.
Whether it's air or water. So
Exactly.
faster cooling means faster production times, which
Exactly.
means lower costs.
Right?
So ribs are kind of like a win-win-win situation. Stronger parts, less material, faster production.
Exactly.
It's pretty amazing how such a small thing can have such a big impact.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it really is amazing how this one little thing can affect so many different things.
You know, it's funny you should mention that because I was actually reading one of your sources about how car manufacturers are using ribs to make cars lighter, which helps them get better gas mileage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's called lightweighting.
Lightweighting.
And it's a huge focus in the auto industry right now.
I can see why it's better for the environment and saves people money at the pump.
Exactly. So by using ribs, they can replace a lot of metal parts with plastic.
So how exactly does that work?
Well, a lot of parts that used to be made of metal are now being made from plastic, and they use ribs to reinforce those plastic parts, so they end up being just as strong.
And durable,
Yeah.
but much lighter.
Exactly.
That's really impressive. So it's not just about swapping out metal for plastic. It's about using ribs to make that plastic as strong as it needs to be without adding a bunch of extra weight.
Right. And with the push for electric vehicles and fuel efficiency, I think we're only going to see more of this.
It makes sense. Every little bit counts.
Yeah.
And I bet it's not just cars, right?
Oh, no, not at all. They use this in the aerospace industry, too.
To make airplanes lighter.
Exactly. To improve performance and save fuel. They're putting ribs in everything from interior panels to like structural components.
Wow. It really is amazing how versatile this technology is.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
But it's not just about making things lighter, right? I mean, I've been seeing a lot more eco-friendly packaging lately. And I know plastic waste is a huge problem. So are ribs being used to help address that too?
They are, yeah.
How so?
Well, one of the main ways is by allowing manufacturers to use less plastic overall.
Okay.
So they strategically use ribs to create thinner packaging, but it still has all the strength it needs.
Right, like those lunch boxes we were talking about.
Exactly.
Less material, but just as strong. And
Exactly.
when you use less plastic, you're obviously using less energy to produce it
Right.
and creating less waste in the end.
Yeah, and that all adds up to a smaller carbon footprint.
And it's not just about using less plastic, right?
Yeah.
There's also a big push to use more sustainable materials for packaging, like bio-based plastics or recycled plastics. So can you use ribs with those materials too?
You can, yeah.
That's great. So we can have both sustainable materials and efficient designs working together. It's good to know that these innovations are helping to move things in the right direction.
Yeah, and consumers are getting more and more aware of these issues,
Yeah.
and they're demanding products that are more sustainable.
Which is a good thing. It pushes companies to do better.
Yeah.
You know, we talked a lot about the practical benefits of ribs, like making things stronger, lighter, cheaper. But what about the design aspect? I mean, are there any limitations to what you can do with ribs in terms of how a product looks?
That's a good question. And while ribs are mostly used for their functional benefits, designers are starting to use them in more creative ways.
Really?
Yeah, to add some visual interest to their products.
Interesting. I always thought of them as being purely structural.
Well, they are often hidden inside the part, but more and more you're seeing them used on the surface
Oh, okay.
to add texture or
So they
patterns.
could be decorative as well as functional.
Exactly.
Do you have any examples of that?
Yeah, think about the back of your smartphone. A lot of phone cases have those textured patterns or ridges. A lot of times, those are actually ribs.
Wow. So they're not just there for grip, they're also a design element.
Right. And some companies are even using ribs to create logos or patterns on their
Oh,
products.
wow. That's really clever.
Yeah, it's a way to make their product stand out and still get all those benefits we talked about.
It sounds like there are a lot of possibilities for using ribs in creative ways.
Yeah, and as technology keeps advancing, who knows what they'll come up with next.
It's pretty exciting to think about. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive,
We have.
from the basics of rib design to all the different applications.
And how they're helping to make products more sustainable.
It's been a really fascinating look at this hidden world of design and manufacturing.
It has.
And it makes you realize how much thought and engineering goes into the things we use every day.
Absolutely.
Things we probably take for granted.
Yeah, I think this deep dive has been a great reminder of that.
Absolutely. It's really amazing, isn't it? You know, we walk around, we see all these plastic products, and we don't even think about all the little details that go into making them.
Yeah, it's easy to forget about all the design and engineering behind the scenes.
Like, I'm looking around my desk right now, and I'm seeing ribs everywhere. In my phone case, my keyboard, even my coffee mug. It's like I'm seeing the world in a whole new way.
That's great. It's like you've unlocked a secret level of understanding.
I used to just see plastic, but now I see all these hidden features. The ribs, the draft angles, all those little things that make a difference.
It's like you've become a plastic rib detective.
Huh. Maybe I have. But it's not just about the technical stuff, is it? It's also about the environmental impact and how these design choices can help make things more sustainable.
Exactly. Like how ribs can help reduce the amount of plastic we use.
Right. And that's a big deal, especially with all the concern about plastic waste.
Absolutely. It's all connected.
So we've talked about how ribs are being used today. But what about the future? Are there any cool new developments on the horizon?
Oh, there's always something new happening. One area I'm really excited about is 3D printing.
3D printing. How are they using that with ribs?
Well, with 3D printing, you can create these really complex rib structures, structures that would be impossible to make with traditional molding.
Oh, wow.
So you can optimize the ribs for strength, weight, even flexibility.
It's like rib design on steroids.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
So what kind of possibilities does that open up?
Well, imagine being able to 3D print a car part with ribs that are perfectly tailored to handle the stresses and strains it will experience.
Wow.
Or a medical implant with a porous rib structure that encourages bone growth.
That's incredible.
It's really pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
It sounds like 3D printing could really revolutionize the way we use ribs.
I think it has the potential to.
So we've learned a lot about plastic ribs. They make products stronger, lighter, cheaper to produce. They can even make them more eco-friendly.
And they can be used in all sorts of creative ways.
It's amazing how such a small detail can have such a big impact.
It really is.
Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into the world of plastic ribs. I don't know about you, but I'm definitely going to be looking at plastic products a little differently from now on.
Me too.
It's been a fascinating journey, and I want to thank you for sharing your expertise with us.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it as interesting as we did. And remember, next time you pick up a plastic product, take a closer look. You might just be surprised by what you discover. Until next time, keep exploring the world around you.